The following broadcast is from our vast Compassion Radio archives.
On today's Compassion Radio.
There have been many cries for help from various children's homes because they're completely overrun. My vision was that we would move from the church house and get a larger property where we would be able to house maybe 200-300 children or more. We can make a difference to these children's lives and bring them up with the love and the care and the admonition of the Lord Jesus and show them the same love and compassion, give them a great start in life, send them to some of the best schools. So I'm just going along one step at a time and saying, Lord, just show us the next step and we'll do it.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio. The truth is black and white. Sometimes it's just hard to see it. Hello and welcome to Compassion Radio. On the streets of Johannesburg, South Africa, innocent babies were dying, victims of the cruelest kind of hopelessness. When Cheryl Allen and her congregation at Berea Baptist Church discovered the extent of the problem, they took action, and the Door of Hope Project was born. Today is part two of a remarkable interview with Cheryl. The Door of Hope Project faces the reality of political instability and economic decline every day as they reach out across the city of Johannesburg, once the greatest financial center in Africa, and now struggling through the transition to self-rule. And lost in the fray are the most vulnerable of all. Here's Norm to set things up.
Today's program will recall a special event of God's guidance in our lives. I pray that you'll be inspired by what you hear. You know, when you stop to think about it, God places a special focus on what happens to people in the cities of the world. Now, we see this in the Bible. In its pages, we see God focusing his redemptive concern on places like Nineveh and Babylon and Jerusalem, to name just a few. It's interesting, the life of the earliest church was centered in cities like Jerusalem and Antioch and Ephesus, Corinth and Rome. And maybe the most touching example of our Lord's concern for a city is when we're told in Luke 19, verse 14, that Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem. You know something, my friend? I am convinced that today Jesus weeps over the city of Johannesburg, South Africa. He weeps over this city because in the hopelessness and the desperation of its inner city poverty and crime, with the highest murder rate in the world, little babies are being thrown into garbage bins and storm drains and being abandoned in the streets where only a miracle can save them from otherwise certain death. Now today I want to tell you about a miracle of Christian compassion that saves the lives of some of these babies every single day. It's the miracle of the Door of Hope, where abandoned babies are rescued and loved and cared for through the love of Jesus Christ. Now, on this program, we're going to hear part two of the conversation that I had with Cheryl Allen, who is the founder and the director of the Door of Hope Ministry that rescues abandoned babies in Johannesburg. My wife, Cher, and I were in the city of Johannesburg, South Africa, and we participated in the ministry itself. And, of course, we lost our hearts to the precious little ones that we saw and whom we held and cuddled and cared for during our stay there. We're taking you into Johannesburg today because we believe that you'll want to have a part in financially supporting the Door of Hope Project. Part one was on the air yesterday. And you'll hear about a trip into one of the black townships, a place called Tokoza, where we went to see some abandoned babies in a hospital, babies that will be in the Door of Hope. Now, as a white man and Cheryl as a white woman, we were clearly in dangerous territory in Tokoza. We were warned not to go there. Then we were promised a police escort into the township. But the police escort did not materialize, so we went anyway. And we were surrounded by wonderful young Christian black men who surrounded us as we traveled through the township to the hospital. It was quite an experience to be in a place where people like us are routinely shot, no questions asked. But believe me, the babies were worth it.
I hope today, my friend, that what you hear will move you to help the Door of Hope Project. Here's part two of my conversation with Cheryl Allen.
Someone was telling me today that one of the problems that develops when young women come to the city is that they leave their families behind, and that means the extended family. We in America are used to the nuclear family, you know, mom and dad and 2.5 kids, whatever it is. But that's not the way African culture functions, is it? And children tend to be raised, at least in traditional African culture, in a large family with aunts and uncles and cousins and grandparents and so forth. So these young women really feel cut off, don't they, and powerless.
I think perhaps they were afraid to go home as well. But in some instances, the one baby that came to us, this was her second child, and she was still a minor. And the granny refused to have another one. She'd had the first one, but refused to have the second one. So yes, they normally look after their own. They normally do take the babies home, and the granny or the mother would look after it. But in some cases, I think in the homelands, they're already under stress there and don't have finances to have food. And they know if they bring more and more children, they're just not going to cope themselves. So it seems like maybe in some areas, I don't know, they're toughening up and just not willing to take in extra mouths to feed. But usually everybody helps everybody else. So in many of the other countries in Africa, they do seem to have friends in a village concept. And so therefore those are your brothers and sisters, and you look after them. So when they come to Hillbrow, for example, you would care for anybody who came from your village. That's kind of your obligation. And they do look out for one another.
Cheryl, we're doing this interview at your home right now. And outside the door here of your study, there are four little babies that we brought home with us from the Door of Hope. I just wonder if we could personalize this issue a little bit by mentioning the four babies that we have here. Who are the four babies that we have at the house, and what's their story, briefly?
Georgina came to us at the home. She's about 18 months now. Her mother brought her about 3 or 4 months ago and asked us to look after her because she had nowhere to sleep. She could provide for herself, but she couldn't keep Georgina with her. And I felt sorry for the child, and so we took her in. We normally only take abandoned babies, but we decided to take Georgina. And then after a week or two, the mother visited twice the 1 week, and then once the second week, and then never came back. So, in fact, we haven't seen her for about 3 months or more. She phoned from Rwanda about a month ago, just to sort of say she was still alive. So if we see her or not, we're not quite sure. Georgina's a lovely little thing, a beautiful little girl, and we love her to bits. The second one that came to us was Nathan that we've got here at the moment. The police phoned me and I went to pick Nathan up in the police station about 7 o'clock at night. Evidently, he'd been dumped by his mom on the side of the road in the bush. So you couldn't actually see him from the road, but being in the bush, people couldn't really find him there. And he's very jittery because of the traffic going past, and we're not quite sure how long he lay there. I know when I got him that night, he had a very red face, so I think he must have been lying in the sun for quite a while. He was sick, he had a temperature, he cried, and when I bathed him, all the skin came off his bottom. So I'm not quite sure how long he had the nappy on for the acid to actually eat through his skin, but layers of it just came off in the bath. But we've nursed him back to health, and he's a lovely little boy. But his mom had dumped him with all his belongings, even his tiny little piece of soap that was over. So I think she really wanted to make sure she got rid of everything. And we don't know her circumstances, but we did get him from the police. So that was Nathan. And then the third one we've got here at the moment is Joshua. These are names we've given to them, obviously. Joshua came to us on a Sunday morning. The police brought him, and they said they'd found him in a nightclub. And we thought Joshua had wonderful character. He has got wonderful character. But he danced his way through church because he came just before church service, so we kept him in church. And he danced and really loved the music. And then afterwards we realized why, because he'd come from the nightclub. And I think also he was a little bit high on the fumes from perhaps the smoking, the cocaine and mandrakes and whatever else they smoked in the club. And so he did have a little bit of a hangover and a headache the next day, but he's just as lively. But he loves dancing. And then the last little one we've got here at the moment is Ruth. And Ruth, we fetched, a young girl phoned and asked if I'd have Ruth, because she said she found that there was no way she could keep her. I heard afterwards that she said if I didn't take her, she would have killed her. And so, of course, I said, yes, we take her. She had seen a social worker who'd helped her through all of this, and she'd come to the decision to actually give it over to us. I asked her to go to court and sign it over, which she did. And I said, of course, we'd be willing to do anything to help them out. And I said I'd fetch the baby. But, of course, I didn't know where it was coming from, and she gave me the number. And eventually what turned out was a friend of mine traveled 3 hours up to Petersburg. The social worker traveled 2.5 hours down to Petersburg, and they met and handed over the baby and then brought it to us. So she actually came from very far up north in Africa.
We also tonight saw some more babies in a hospital in one of the townships north of here. Would you tell our listeners, by the way, how tough the area was that we went to tonight to look at these other babies who were in a hospital?
We were warned not to go to the area because it's very, very dangerous. They normally shoot people on sight. And so the police said that they would give us a police escort in, but we would have to go to another township to get that. We decided and prayed about it that we would ask the Lord to protect us, and we would go into the area anyway. And so Norm came with us, and I took three of my young men from the church, rather the larger, more tough-looking guys.
Right.
And we positioned ourselves in the car so that Norm would not be seen. He was maybe the most conspicuous. But anyway, we went into the area, and it was quite scary. It's a very rough area. We had to go through taxi ranks where they've been having taxi wars. They also got a lot of political wars there, fightings between various parties. And so there's a lot of unrest. There has been a lot of unrest in that area. And so then we went into the hospital. They didn't want to let us in, but eventually we did persuade them to let us through. We got to the ward, and there was just four left, which I was quite pleased about, because they'd said there were between 12 and 16 abandoned babies in that particular ward. And so there were four babies there. And then another one that had come in as well, that the mother had left in a casualty and then given a false address. And when the police went to look for her, obviously didn't find that it was the correct address. So there was five babies there. That one was a bit older, about 14, maybe 16 months old. The others were newborns that had been left that are abandoned. And the mothers come into the hospital, have the babies, and then leave.
Obviously, this is a ministry that is just desperately needed in the heart of the city. And you know, and I know, and everybody who sees what's happening at the Door of Hope realizes that this thing is going to take off, and that the need is so desperate that you could be, in a rather short period of time, overwhelmed by the number of babies that come to you. Could you share just for a moment something of the vision that you have for the future for the Door of Hope ministry? Not just that you have, but that the Lord has laid on your heart.
Now, with the statistics that have come out, and statistics vary, but they said that our country would have 500,000 orphans by next year. Because of the AIDS crisis, the parents are dying off. Our age group from about 18 to 30 are dying off, and the numbers are increasing to 45,000 a month. They at the present are about 25,000 a month. So we are finding people coming into work, bringing their small children, dying, and other relatives coming to take their places, also dying, and a lot of orphans and abandoned babies. And so therefore we realize that the problem is going to be growing in the near future. So my vision is that our numbers are going to be so many that we are not going to be able to cope. The government institutions and the other homes that are already existing are not going to be able to cope with the numbers. They're already not coping. There have been many cries for help from various children's homes because they're completely overrun. They just cannot cope. Just on the news last night, a home in Durban, just run by the social workers because they don't know what to do with the babies, has 200 in them already. So my vision was that we would move from the church house and get a larger property where we would be able to house maybe 200-300 children or more. I believe with George Muller in the 19th century, he ran orphanages in the United Kingdom. And he had about 10,000 orphans through his homes, 1,000 at a time. He ran them very well, and I've read biographies and interviews from some of the people that went through his homes, the orphans, and they said it was the happiest years of their lives. So I believe that as a Christian organization, a faith-based mission, we can make a difference to these children's lives and not be institutionalized children, but bring them up with the love and the care and the admonition of the Lord Jesus and show them the same love and compassion, give them a great start in life, send them to some of the best schools, and I believe we serve a great God and nothing is impossible with him. And so therefore, we're looking to him because we don't want our vision. We want his vision. I don't want to know what I want to do. I want to know what he wants to do, because what he wants to do will succeed. What I want to do won't. And therefore, I could never tackle a project unless it was of him, because my project would fail, but his project will always succeed. And he has greater plans than even what I've thought of. So I'm just going along one step at a time and saying, Lord, just show us the next step and we'll do it. I'm wanting to go to government because I believe that there are certain changes they need to make. And I believe also I would like them to give me recognition that I might be able to go into the places across some of the barrier lines that are up at the moment in regions that are stopping us get some of the babies, some of the red tape, etc., and get their recognition to be able to go in and be able to collect the abandoned babies who are lying in all the different places. I believe in one of our hospitals in Pretoria, Jubilee, I phoned the man. He's a lovely Christian man. He says there's a whole row of babies. So we've got a problem, and I believe people have told me that we're only scratching the surface. So it's just the tip of the iceberg that we're dealing with at the moment. So I see that we've got a great future because we serve a great God.
I couldn't agree with you more.
How do you get rid of an iceberg? Well, you chip away at it until it's gone. We'll be back with the conclusion of this amazing interview with Cheryl Allen about the Door of Hope Project in Johannesburg, South Africa, after this special word from Norm.
My friend, did you know that you can save a baby's life today by making a contribution to our compassion project known as the Door of Hope? Close to 1,000 little lives have been saved. Isn't that incredible? And approximately 60 infants in a month are abandoned by desperate mothers and found in garbage dumpsters, in toilets, storm drains, shoeboxes, along roadsides, and in city parks. Now you may ask, how could a mother do such a thing? I do know this. Two things are certain. One, the babies are blameless victims. And two, the babies deserve a chance at life. Cheryl Allen, who was then the pastor of the small Berea Baptist Church in the Berea Hillbrow area of Johannesburg, one of the most dangerous areas in the city, couldn't turn away once she was aware of this terrible situation. Church members had cut a hole through the high wall that protects the church's property in this very tough neighborhood. They had placed a padded bin inside that hole. They wired the bin so that an alarm sounded in the church compound when even the tiniest baby was placed in it. And then they hung hinged doors over the bin. The outside door read, "The Door of Hope." And when the alarm sounded, personnel in the church rushed out to the bin and they rescued the babies. Well, it worked. Babies began to appear in the Door of Hope. In fact, it worked so well that soon there were too many babies to care for within the small house on the church property. And that's where this ministry, Compassion Radio, became involved. We committed to raise enough money for the Door of Hope to purchase a home in a safe, clean suburb where the growing number of toddlers could be accommodated and cared for. We didn't have the money, but we made the pledge. And thanks to compassionate partners just like you, we raised the money that was needed for the Door of Hope first baby house. At that time, less than 100 babies had been rescued. Today, a second and a third house have been added. In addition, the majority of those babies have been adopted by Christian families in South Africa, and they're being raised to serve the Lord and affect the future of South Africa. My friend, it doesn't get any better than this. Now, wouldn't you like to be a part of this great story? And that means a need for more baby food and diapers, more clothing, more baby bottles, more blankets, more medical supplies, more everything in order to provide the very best in baby and child care and to keep the baby houses in tip-top shape. What I'm doing today is inviting you to take a simple action of compassion and to send the best contribution that you can send to rescue little ones who have been knit together by God and allowed by Him to breathe the breath of life. Your gift can provide for the basic care of one baby for 1 month. I just hope that you'll consider how valuable these abandoned little babies are to our Heavenly Father. He loves each one. So, will you love and care for them as He does? Oh, be a part of the Door of Hope Project. Send your gift today and know that God will be pleased.
Your phone call will do the trick. Give us a call today. 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're on the internet 24/7 at CompassionRadio.com. And now back to Norm and Cheryl Allen.
You know, our Lord said, "Let the little children come unto me and do not hinder them." And I've said this before, Cheryl, I've said that sometimes we can hinder what God wants by our apathy. And what I want to do is to stir up our listeners today. I want them to get out of apathy, if it exists, and to see the vision that God has for these babies here in this great city. And we hope that we'll be able to make a contribution to help you as you move forward in the venture to which God has called you. And after being here and seeing what's happening, there is no question in our minds that this is of God. I want to thank you not only for what you're doing and for the ministry that you've launched, but also for taking the time to host us and to allow us to see the need here, but also the possibilities. I believe that they are really endless because, as you said, we serve a great God. God bless you.
Thank you very much, Norm, for letting me speak to your listeners and for sharing this time with you. I appreciate it very much.
Well, there you have it. A great need and a marvelous opportunity. Shared with you by Cheryl Allen. My friend, let the Lord speak to you about the gift that you can give to our Door of Hope project as you listen to Morning Song singing of how God so loved the world. Have walked the violent, drug-infested streets of Johannesburg. We've gone into neighborhoods where white people are shot and killed on sight. We've gathered up abandoned babies in our arms and carried them to safety. And we advanced the money for the purchase of the suburban safe house before this ministry had raised one penny to finance that purchase. That's how much we are committed to this project. We're asking you to help keep the Door of Hope going as it anticipates rescuing more than 1,000 babies and nurturing them into boys and girls who are thriving in their life and their love for Jesus Christ.
Your gift will provide the food, the clothing, the shelter, the medical care, the spiritual care to transform a generation in Christ's name. Now, some people say that we shouldn't beg for money, but in this case, they're wrong. I will beg for the life of a baby. So, right now, I am begging you, do what you know you want to do and send your gift of support today. That's who you are. And remember, God will be pleased as you do His work today.
And this broadcast is from our vast program archive. You know, we can't succeed without your faithful prayer and financial support. Friend, will you help us make 2017 the best year of outreach in our 73-year history? Please call today with your gifts, encouragements, and prayer requests at 1-800-868-2478. That's toll-free, 800-868-2478. Or make your gift online at CompassionRadio.com. You can also reach us by writing Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. On behalf of Norm, Cher, Bram, and the team, I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we'll see you again tomorrow with more Compassion Radio.